Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, the book of Joshua, chapter 6, and then I'll be reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Joshua, chapter 6, and then Revelation, chapter 8. And we are in the midst of a series on the book of Revelation, and you see this morning our scripture text is from the last part of Revelation chapter 8. But let's begin with Joshua chapter 6, and I'll be reading the entire chapter. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in, and no one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and all the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on the day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in the house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. They then burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. And I'll be reading the 13 verses of Revelation 8, even though our focus this morning is on verses 6 through 13. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. And as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Joshua chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 8. Keep in mind as well this morning, there is an outline of this morning's message in your bulletins, and that may be of help to you as you follow along with the proclamation of God's word this morning. We often sing the Christian hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." But do you ever really consider yourself a soldier of the cross? Have you ever considered yourself to be a soldier in the army of God? Have you ever thought about the fact that today you are considered a soldier in the army of God that marches around the city of Jericho, just as the nation of Israel did so long ago? This is what our text is telling us this morning. Now remember, all through this series on the book of Revelation, we have been saying that the book of Revelation is a summation book. That means the book of Revelation is not a book that we read to predict all kinds of future events that are yet to come. But what the book of Revelation does is it sums up for us what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures, and it sums it up unto completion as to what God is instructing us and telling us about the world and what God is at work doing. We also know that the book of Hebrews tells us that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. That means when we look at Old Testament events and what takes place in the Old Testament, we recognize they are a shadow of what someday is and has been for us fulfilled in the new. And so our text this morning, you will find, is a perfect example of that. our text this morning, which focuses on the first four trumpets, the first four trumpets of the vision of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, remind us that the trumpet blasts that God sends out now are connected with the trumpet blasts that were sounded in the Old Testament, and in particular at the city of Jericho. We want to begin this morning tracing the Old Testament background in the book of Numbers. Now you remember, in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel are gathered before Mount Sinai. They have been delivered from slavery, from the land of Egypt, by the blood of God's Passover lamb. They have been baptized into Moses in the Red Sea, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. And now they are gathered before Mount Sinai, where God has made His covenant with them and established His covenant with His people, those whom He has delivered. And when you come to the beginning of the book of Numbers, you will notice that there is a census being taken, a list of all the tribes of Israel, a census of all the people who have come out of Egypt. And each time in the first chapter of the book of Numbers, we are told in that census of how many fighting men, how many men are capable or part of serving in the army of the Lord. When you come then to chapter 10, you notice that God gives instructions concerning two trumpets. And the trumpets in Numbers chapter 10 have a twofold purpose for the children of Israel. One purpose, we're told in verse 1, is to summon the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out." So one purpose, we're told in Numbers 10, is that when the trumpet blasts, the people are to be assembled together before the tent of meeting of the Lord, and God summons them to speak to His people. But we're also told in Numbers 10 that there is a second purpose. And this second purpose is concerning the marching out of the people. When they hear the trumpet blast, we're told at the end of verse 1, the camps or portions of the camps are to set out. We see in verse 5, when a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. Verse 6, at the sounding of the second blast, the camps on the south are to set out, and the blast will be the signal for setting out. Later on, we're also told in verse 9 that the trumpet blast is also important when they go into battle. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. So in Numbers 10, as the people think and know about the trumpets, we're told that one purpose when they hear the trumpet sound is the assembling of the people because God needs to speak to His people. Second of all, we're told that when the trumpet is sounded, it is an order or a call from God for the people to march. And as they march, in particular in the field of battle, it is a warning to the enemy that God's judgment and wrath is about to come. As we go to the story of Joshua chapter 6 concerning the fall of Jericho, we see similar patterns. We see the trumpets being used on the field of battle. We see the marching army of God. The people have crossed the Jordan River. They have gone into the promised land, and we're told in verse 1 that Jericho is shut up tight because the people see the Israelites outside. And no one goes out, and no one comes in. Then as the people are ready to stand before the city, the entryway into the land of Canaan, the city with walls so large that the people of Jericho were living in them, God gives the plan for battle. They are told to march around the city one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day to march around the city for 7 times on the last day. And notice how they march. God tells them in verse 2, "See, I have delivered from Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, and have the priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets." Notice the order. You have 7 priests that are told to march in front of the ark of God, the ark of God's presence, and God's people are to march behind. Look at verse 6. "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant and have the 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord.'" And the people followed the instructions. And as the citizens of Jericho shut up inside their city, look down from the walls, they see the 7 priests with the 7 trumpets. They hear the sound of the trumpet blast. They see the ark of the presence of God. They see the army, they see the Israelites marching behind the ark 1 time each day. As they hear the trumpet blast each day, it is the warning sound of God's coming judgment and wrath. They see it, they hear it, and they know what has taken place in other cities. For when the spies went into the city in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab helped them. And Rahab said to them, "We have heard what the God of the Israelites has done to the visiting cities and nations. We know the power of the God of the Israelites." And Rahab helped the spies. And Rahab was delivered from the judgment of God. But the citizens of Jericho, hearing the sounds of the trumpets, no one leaves the city. No one puts faith in the God of Israel or in His people or in His coming wrath and judgment. They remain in the city, all but Rahab. On the seventh day, they march around the city for 7 times, blasting the trumpets each and every time. Still, no one leaves the city and is fearful of the wrath of the living God. Finally, the 7th blast takes place. The people let out the shout. The walls of the city come down. And the people rush in. And the city suffers under the wrath and the judgment of God. That's an interesting story, isn't it? It's one that we tell well in Sunday school and to our children, one that we can read and take interest in. But is that story just of something long ago? Is that something that, well, God once did, but God doesn't do anymore? We read it and we say to ourselves, we can only imagine what it would have been like to be there. But that Old Testament work of God has a lot to do with our text today. It speaks to what God is doing in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation helps us identify with that story today. You notice in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, that the 7th seal of God's wrath is opened. And we are told that there is silence in heaven for 30 minutes. What does that mean? That means that God has completed His work of redemption in Jesus Christ. There is silence in heaven because God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for the sins of His people. And He has now been risen from the grave and ascended into heaven. And all that God has to accomplish concerning the salvation of His people has been completed. We are not going to see manna fall from heaven anymore. We are not going to see water from a rock because someone hits or strikes the rock. All of those Old Testament works of redemption that God brought about for His people have been fulfilled in the death and the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the only time yet in which God will yet speak upon the earth to all the people is when our Savior returns to earth. So we're told that there is silence in heaven for half an hour. And so some Christians even today say to themselves, well, I guess God is silent, isn't He? It sure seems that way. We pray and pray for Him to do some kind of miraculous thing or to change our circumstances or to change the ungodliness we see in the world in which we live, and nothing seems to happen. He just seems to remain silent. It's almost as if, what the deist once said, God is like a clock concerning the earth. He has winded it up like a clock, and the earth just unwinds like a clock, and all the events in the earth just take place, but God really is not interceding or doing anything in the world. We pray and pray, but God seems silent. But you see, our text this morning reminds us that God is very active in this world. Our text this morning reminds us that God continues to have His soldiers and His fighting men who are fighting in His army, even today. His army, which is you, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the Old Testament of Israel of old, you have been delivered from the land of slavery. You have been delivered from your sins by the blood of God's Passover Lamb, His Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and whose blood was shed to cover your sins. You have been delivered from the land of slavery and death through the power of His resurrection. Your sins are forgiven. You have been risen and you have been baptized in His name. And you are numbered in the army of God. What do you mean? I don't feel like I'm in an army. I don't feel like I'm marching around a city like Jericho right now, waiting for the wrath and the judgment of God. But remember, congregation, the interlude. Remember the interlude in the vision of the seven seals. Remember how the seals were described, the opening of the seals in chapter 6, and the seventh seal is then opened in chapter 8. But chapter 7 is this interlude which describes the people of God. And the first part of that interlude, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 7, which describes the mighty army of God. And how, at the second half of that chapter, verses 9 through 17, we learn of the church triumphant. The church triumphant in heaven, which is singing God's praises. But chapter 7, the first part, identifies the church on earth, the church militant, with the Old Testament people of God. We see in the description of the church militant, we're told that this church militant is numbered. numbered like the church of old in the book of Numbers, numbered like those who belong to God, those who belong to Christ, and the 12 tribes of Israel are listed as they were listed in the beginning of the book of Numbers. We are told that this number of God's people is a perfect number, the number that only He knows, 12 times 12,000, numbering 144,000. This church has been summoned through the sound of the preaching of the gospel, which has gone forth unto the four corners of the earth. People have come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as they are numbered in the church militant, you see the tribe of Judah, verse 5 of chapter 7, is listed first. The tribe of our Savior. He is the captain, the leader of our army. He is greater than the Old Testament Joshua. He has died for His people. He has been resurrected from the grave, and He leads His church militant on earth, the visible church of Christ, into war. Now, you say to yourself, into war? I know we sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching on to war." I know we sing that song that goes, "Am I a soldier of the cross?" But as I live my life, and as I sit here right now, here at worship, I don't feel like a soldier. When I woke up this morning, I didn't put on my uniform and grab my weapon and get ready to fight into battle. Where's my sword? Or where's my gun? Where's my tank? Where's my army? We're ready to go to war and attack the unbelieving world. But that's not what they did at Jericho, is it? They followed God's word. They followed His instructions. They marched around the city. But God brought down the walls. What do you do? Revelation chapter 8. Tells us. Remember how we looked at the structure of this text. Remember what we pointed out concerning this structure in last week's sermon. In verse 2, you see that there are seven angels, and these seven angels are not standing before the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant, because that ark is no more. These seven angels from heaven stand before God Himself. And we're told that they are given seven trumpets. And then as you drop down to verse 6, you see again these seven angels who are mentioned. And they have these seven trumpets which they are preparing themselves to sound. And in between verses 3 through 5, we are told how the church militant is fighting. In verse 3, there is an angel in heaven with a golden censer, and he comes and he stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, verse 4, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. We are told in heaven that the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church, the prayers of the church militant rise up before God in heaven. This is a beautiful passage which reminds us and calls us as people who pray to know that our prayers are before the throne of God. That when we intercede for one another, we know our prayers go up before God. That we know as people who pray that when we intercede for someone who is an enemy or has brought harm to us or to Christ's church, that when we pray for the salvation of someone who has not put their faith in Christ, our prayers are rising up before God. But remember verse 5. those prayers of intercession also do something else. Then the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire from the altar and he hurled it upon the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. You see, the prayers of the saints, which are prayers for intercession, that we pray for others and that people will come to believe in Christ for salvation, they also have a second effect. And the second effect of these prayers is that they put in motion the wrath of God. They set it in motion. Yes, we pray that that unbeliever will come to faith. Yes, like Stephen, we pray that God would forgive those who brought about his wrath against Stephen, who brought about the stoning of Stephen. Yet there is an opposite effect. That if that person does not come to Christ, that if those who have brought harm to Christ's church continue to bring harm and reject God and His Word and the sounding of His Word through the preaching of the Word in Jesus Christ, God's wrath will come upon them. Do you see how your prayers are effectual? You see, God is not silent. God is at work, and your prayers are effectual. Yes, you pray and pray, and maybe sometimes you do not get what you hoped or prayed for. But that prayer is still effectual. For when the angel throws down the censer from the altar of God, and the peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and the earthquake of God's holiness is sent down to the earth, the seven angels are ready to blast their trumpets. The sound of the trumpet of warning, the warning of God's coming wrath, the warning of the coming day of the Lord. That sound, according to these first four trumpets, is heard all over the creation. There is no hiding from this sound. There is no denying by the unbeliever that they cannot hear this sound. And God's wrath is being sounded through this trumpet almost every day. And this is put in motion by the prayers of the saints, the army of God. You say, how? Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by these trumpet blasts? How are they heard all around the world? Verse 7. Verse 7 tells us that the first angel sounded his trumpet, and this trumpet is sounded all over the land. We're told that there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Each and every day across this world, there are storms. We heard one last night, the sound of thunder, the flash of lightning right here in our own area. We know that there are hailstorms that have taken place since Christ's first coming and will be until He comes again. We know that there are lightning strikes that start forest fires that bring about destruction and death. We know that until our Lord comes again, there will be powerful hurricanes and tornadoes which will take the lives of people of the earth. And no one can control them. God alone is in control of these things. And the world should hear those sounds and know that there is a true God in heaven who has created this world and who is in control of everything. But like the people of Jericho, they go on with their lives and say, it was Mother Nature. The second angel, verse 8, sounds his trumpet, and this sound is heard all across the sea. There is no hiding from the sound of God's wrath. You cannot leave the land and say, well, I'm off in the sea and it's not heard here. We're told in this second trumpet that something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. We're not sure exactly what the text means at this point. But a third of the sea is turned to blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. God's wrath brought upon the sea, and there are shipwrecks. There are powerful storms. There is a turbulent sea that brings about death. There are tsunamis which hit upon the land and leave sea creatures dead on the shore. And man, caught in its path, thousands in Southeast Asia, caught in the path of the judgment and the wrath of God. God's power, God's coming wrath sounded across the sea. The third angel, verse 10, sounds his trumpet. And this trumpet is heard across the fresh waters of the earth. A star blazing like a torch fell from the sky, a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of the waters. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Ever since Christ's first coming until he comes again, there are people of the earth whose water supply has turned bitter or has become poison and has brought about death of numbers of people. God's wrath sounded. Verse 12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And this sound is heard all over the earth, for it affects the luminaries of the sky. The sun, we're told, was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them all turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and a third of the night. Whenever a forest fire strikes the earth, there is so much smoke that it can change the color of the sky. Whenever there is a solar eclipse, throughout generations, mankind has looked at those eclipses and has wondered, why did the moon darken? Why did the sun, a portion of it, darken? Throughout generations, there have been volcanoes which have blasted ash into the sky, even here in 1980 at Mount St. Helens. And the news report showed, you can still read them if you go to the visitor center, it was like the people of Yakima and other places said, it was dark at noon. It was like we had night during the day. We could not see the sun for a portion of time, and there were no stars or moon at night. All of this, a sounding of the trumpet of God, a sounding of His coming wrath. Only a third of the earth is affected, not the entire creation, but only a portion. For God's wrath, God's angels are blowing their trumpets of warning to all the world to heed the coming wrath of God and to put their faith in God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. To know that God is the creator of all things and they must come and put their faith in Him lest they hear the warnings like the citizens of Jericho. Lest they hear the warnings of these seven angels who stand before God just as the seven priests stood before the ark of God. lest they hear the sound of the trumpet, just like the citizens of Jericho heard the sounds of the trumpet, but continued with their unbelieving lives and their unbelieving ways until God's final wrath and judgment day came. There is progress in these visions of Revelation. In the six seals, we're told in chapter 6 that 1/4 of the earth was affected, the end of verse 8 of chapter 6. In our chapter, the seven trumpets, 1/3 of the earth is affected. There's more that are about and going to suffer under the wrath of God. But in chapter 16, as you come to the seven bowls, God Himself is speaking there, and all of the earth, 100%, is not hearing a sound of a trumpet anymore. The warning has been sounded, but God's wrath and judgment comes in all its fullness. This is the message of our text this morning. You are a soldier in the army of God. God is at work through your prayers. A fellow pastor once said to me, "There is no army on earth as powerful and strong as a saint of God on their knees at prayer." Did you hear that? There is no army on earth as powerful or as strong as a saint of God on their knees at prayer. Do you believe that, soldier? Do you see from our text how God is at work and you are a soldier in His army? If you do, soldier, how well are you fighting? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the vision of the seven trumpets and the sound of warning that is heard throughout all of creation. Father, we as your people pray to you and look to you, and many times it seems as if there is no answer. We read of the events in the Old Testament and we wonder why it doesn't happen now. But our passage this morning reminds us, O God, that you are speaking and that we are fighting, following our Savior, that we fight in our prayers, that our prayers of intercession also set in motion the opposite, the sounding of your wrath. Enable us, O God, to embrace our Savior more and more. May we hear the sounds of your wrath and judgment each and every day as we live in this world. May we always be reminded that you are the Creator, that you are in charge, that this is our Father's world. And may we, as your church, through the preaching of the gospel and through our prayers, know that the war is carried on as we follow you, so that many may come to believe in Christ as their Savior. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.